TBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A local gas company says it's assisting in the investigation into the deaths of legendary actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog in New Mexico. ABC's Alex Stone has more.
Investigators in Santa Fe County have said little except there was no foul play in their deaths. It had been cold in the area, and law enforcement experts say without foul play and with two people and even their dog dead, carbon monoxide poisoning would have to be looked at from a heater or some other device.
Gene Hackman was 95. President Trump will meet this afternoon with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The White House says they'll be discussing the war in Ukraine. On social media, the president said that 25% tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico will go into effect Tuesday, and Chinese tariffs will increase to 20%. Economists warn this could lead to higher prices for U.S. consumers. As the West Texas measles outbreak continues, a school-age girl has died, the nation's first measles death in a decade. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is fearful of what the Trump administration policies might mean for Wisconsin. Evers commented to the Wisconsin Counties Association's annual legislative conference in Madison on Tuesday and said there's, quote, no question that tariffs are going to negatively impact Wisconsin's economy. Evers and other governors from around the nation met with President Trump at the White House last week. Evers said what was supposed to be a 20-minute discussion ended up lasting an hour and a half. The Democratic governor said that while the president is, quote, an amazing human being in a lot of ways, he continues to be concerned about the direction the administration is taking. An Oshkosh police officer will not face criminal charges for fatally shooting a stabbing suspect. The Winnebago County Assistant District Attorney, Tracy Pater, wrote that the use of deadly force was justified. On December 10th, officers responded to a stabbing call on West 10th Avenue. There they found a young woman with multiple stab wounds. They also found the suspect, identified as Delvion Fairman, wielding what was described as a large machete. Officers fired two shots as Fairman continued to advance on them. A second stabbing victim was later found in the basement bathroom. The DCI investigation suggests Fairman was under the influence of psychedelic mushrooms. The Shawnee County Sheriff's Office says 16-year-old Ayana Mendez has been found safe. You may remember we reported yesterday that Mendez has been missing since February 16th. Officials say she was located Wednesday afternoon. No other details have been shared. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jair Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today with high temperatures tapping the low 40s and winds becoming breezy. They'll be gusting up to 30 miles per hour today and whip up to 40 miles per hour tomorrow. With a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon, we're looking at light snow chances overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. and you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats to your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Hey, it's Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street in Green Bay.
And I'm Ashley. Get your happy hour on every Monday through Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. with $4 rail mixers and drafts and $3 bottled beers.
Plus, we've upgraded our kitchen. We now use lard in our fryers for healthier, tastier food. Check out our prime Angus burgers, pressed paninis, and our fresh walleye.
Hosting a party? Book our second floor parlor with a third level loft. They're perfect for get-togethers.
Heights Pub and Parlor, online at heightsgb.com or follow us on Facebook.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Yes, we have another election less than 5 weeks from today, April 1st, Wisconsin voting for who will take a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Brad Schimmel is running against Judge Susan Crawford, who joins us now on the phone. Judge Crawford, thank you so very much for joining us. Oh, wait, we put up the wrong picture. Apologies for that on our live stream. Calvin, can you switch that? There we go. Judge Crawford, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Jane.
Judge Crawford, I wanted to start off with this. Brad Schimmel, who is your opponent, has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers at the U.S. Capitol. He says that they weren't given a fair shot in court. At the same time, you are being accused of being soft on crime. How do you respond to that accusation?
Yeah, you know, I was really shocked to hear that Brad Schimmel, who, you know, really touts his law and order credentials, was making excuses and defending these, you know, this violent mob that stormed the Capitol and attacked Capitol police officers. So I think it just shows that, you know, his support for law enforcement is just on the surface. It's not something he really believes in. And, you know, I'm somebody who has deep experience as a prosecutor and later as a lawyer defending people in court and now as a judge. And I'm just astonished at Brad Schimmel's defense of those people. And then even he went so far as to say he had no objection to President Trump's blanket pardons of everybody involved in that insurrection. So, I'm almost at a loss for words to comment on that.
Judge Crawford, you are being hit pretty hard, though, on some of the cases that you've ruled on in the past.
Yeah, you know, that's Elon Musk's money hard at work trying to distort my record on public safety. Those ads have, you know, all kinds of lies and misrepresentations in them. I'm proud of the work I have done both as a prosecutor and as a judge. I always put public safety first. I make sure I give crime victims rights. Protection in the process. And, you know, they're talking about cases where I sentenced people to several years in prison and long periods of supervision by the Department of Corrections afterward. Meanwhile, you know, we have reams of cases, dozens of cases where Brad Schimmel gave people no jail time or short jail time and released them for crimes like domestic violence and child abuse. And those people went on to reoffend. You know, that's the real test of a sentence is did those people go on to create new victims and hurt people again. And, you know, that's Brad Schimmel's record.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. Right before you joined us, we were talking about some of the January 6th attackers who received those blanket pardons. And a number of them had previous convictions or even current convictions involving rape and sexual assault. And as you said, sexual abuse of minors.
Yep, yep. A lot of those folks were, repeat offenders, and it wouldn't shock me if those people go on to commit additional crimes now that they're back at large in the community. It's really a shame.
If you're just joining us, Judge Susan Crawford is joining us on the phone. She is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is on April 1st, and if you're not sure where to go, if you're not registered to vote, please take care of that. Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and that will tell you what's on your ballot, who all of your elected officials are, how you can contact them, etc. I also wanted to talk, Judge Crawford, about the 1849 abortion ban, which right now is on hold in Wisconsin. But it also seems like Brad Schimmel is very much in favor of that law, which, if I understand it correctly, only has exceptions for the life of the mother, but even that comes with some caveats.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Brad Schimmel has said repeatedly that he thinks there's nothing wrong with that law and it should be fully enforced. And like you said, no exceptions for things like rape or incest or even sexually abused children in that law. And, you know, as I've been out campaigning, I have had doctors and midwives and women approach me and tell me really personal stories about women who were forced to go out of state for health care while that law was briefly in effect before the judge put it on hold. And those are scary stories. You know, these are women who were having a crisis in a pregnancy and needed health care, and they were unable to get it in their own state and had to be transported to, you know, Minnesota or Illinois or wherever. And that's, you know, that has to be concerning to every voter in Wisconsin. And I say every voter, not every woman, but every voter in Wisconsin should be concerned that a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court thinks that that's no problem.
And I think it's important, Judge Crawford, that folks also understand that just because this 1849 ban is on hold right now, that doesn't mean that the full range of services are available all over the state of Wisconsin. We had a guest on earlier this week, young married woman with a wanted pregnancy who had complications, I believe it was in the second trimester. She had to wait almost 24 hours before she was able to get the care that she needed, and she developed sepsis and now is having problems conceiving and having another wanted child.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's just story after story like that. You know, I was talking to an OBGYN the other day who told me that before the 1849 ban was put on hold, that they literally had patients who were, you know, lying in a hospital bed in a critical condition while the doctors are in a huddle, you know, talking about, you know, is it close enough to her losing her life?
Yeah.
Can we take action? Because they're concerned about liability, you know, doctors and hospitals are really worried about liability, and they're, you know, they're not going to rush into something. So that, you know, that's one of the problems with these laws that make an exception only for the life of the mother, is how close to death are you going to let the woman get before you give her health care services?
It is.
We've heard those stories over and over, and that's where we're at. And that's the result of the Dobbs decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that took away almost 50 years of constitutional protections that women could rely on.
We were just accused by a listener of citing an outlying case of this Laurel who joined us this week. This is not an outlier. This is happening in emergency rooms. Good heavens, we've talked about cases where women have been bleeding out in the parking lots of emergency rooms because they're not close enough to dead yet to get health care.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've had healthcare providers, as I said, approach me and tell me those stories themselves. And, you know, somebody saying this is an outlier. Well, how many women are you going to let die? How many outliers before you do something about it? You know, and Brad Schimmel, you know, one other thing with his position, he said, oh, we could have a referendum, put it to the voters.
Yeah.
Well, Wisconsin law doesn't allow that. We don't have a way to just let voters directly decide on an issue like abortion rights in Wisconsin. You know, that's why it's in the courts. And he wants to sort of pass the buck and say, you know, let the voters determine this in a referendum, which is impossible, or let the legislature decide this. And again, the legislature has shown no interest in it, and that's why it's in the courts.
We were talking about this before you joined us, and essentially it's his way to make himself look reasonable. Like, I just want to do what the voters want, and all we have to do is have a statewide referendum, even though that is not a thing that exists in Wisconsin.
Exactly. Yeah, he's, you know, he is trying to run away from his record. He has been a longtime opponent of abortion rights, dating back to at least 2012 when he signed on to a Wisconsin Right to Life white paper that said, you know, when Roe versus Wade is overturned, that 1849 law will go into effect. He was advocating for that way back then. Then as Attorney General, he was fighting to defend unconstitutional restrictions on abortion rights in Wisconsin, and not just in Wisconsin, but he was trying to defend unconstitutional restrictions on abortion rights even in other states, wading into litigation in other states to, you know, argue against women's reproductive health care rights. So he's got a long, long record on this issue, hired a top lawyer into the Wisconsin Department of Justice, who we now know was part of the conservative legal movement that developed a legal strategy to overturn Roe versus Wade. And now he's saying, oh, you know, gosh, Dobbs just sent it back to the states and maybe there can be a referendum. This is a problem of Brad Schimmel's own making. This is what he wanted to see happen, is for women to lose this constitutional protection. And, you know, now he's trying to run away from that record.
I think we played a clip of him talking, and he asked the question, where is the flaw? How is this wrong? And to ask the question of a 19th century law, what's flawed with that, looking back now, almost 200 years later, to not even look at the language and say, what's wrong with this? That says a lot about who he is. And just the fact that he doesn't know that the people can't vote on a binding referendum.
He knows that.
I mean, or to play up that is just absolutely. Yeah.
Judge Crawford, we're just about out of time. I know a lot of folks are wondering when you're going to take the gloves off and start running some ads and getting out in front of some of these attacks on you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've got more ads coming, and I'll defend my record any day. Like I said, I've always been about the safety of the community. And, you know, we're going to fight off the lies paid for by Elon Musk. And you know why Elon Musk is in this. He thinks that Brad Schimmel is going to be his bag man on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And that's something that Brad Schimmel's really familiar with.
Judge,
he once called himself Scott Walker's bag man back when he was attorney general, and he's willing to sell out justice to the highest bidder.
Just one more thing. Do you promise not to have commemorative coins if you're elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and spend $10,000 of our taxpayer money on those?
Absolutely. I will make that promise here and now.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, James.
Judge Susan Crawford on the phone. Thank you so much for your time, Judge Crawford. Really, really appreciate it. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Ready!
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvettini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, the Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joining us. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flipping Your Wig edition. It's a good one. You may want to stick around for that. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning. I know you're sad, Brittany.
I am.
I know.
I'm so sad. I have been crying just as much as the snow has been melting across the state, honestly.
That's a lot. I talked to a doctor.
I want to. You're a winter weather fan. You're all into the winter sports and snowmobiling and cross-country skiing and all those things. And yeah, those opportunities just kind of went whoosh.
Yep, they are gone. Just as fast as they got here, they melted away. I mean, we're just a muddy mess up north now. I know it is down south as well, but I mean, we went from 12 inches of snow on the ground to just some piles now, you know, the plowed piles that are lingering. Some shaded areas in the woods still have a little bit of snow, but even far up north, Hurley, Wisconsin only has 4 inches on the ground. So all snowmobiling done, skiing, everything, like you said.
Well, the Berkey got off okay, which is a good thing. The Birkebeiner got to do a regular run this year as opposed to last year. But I was kind of surprised. I know in the Milwaukee area in southeastern Wisconsin, we didn't get nearly the snow that you did. But even looking around my neighborhood, all I could think of was most of it got absorbed. And that shows me just how far behind we are as far as moisture is concerned.
Yes, absolutely. 50% of the state as of early last week was in a moderate drought. So half of the state needed this melt. They needed the precipitation. And we definitely have more on the way. So it's not going to stop here. And we're entering, you know, as these seasons shift, the flooding season.
Yes.
A whole nother bucket of concerns headed our way.
So what is coming? What are we looking at? Today's Thursday. What are we looking at for the weekend and then even into early next week? Because I know you don't like to forecast too far out.
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest concern right now is the lakes, the Great Lakes, honestly. We're going to see some winds, very, very feisty, gusting up to about 40 to 50 miles per hour on land. This is going to start overnight tonight and through tomorrow.
All across Wisconsin?
Yes. So we're going to see some potentially wind advisories going out. We could see some power outages. So the brutal winds will have to battle. But here's the thing. We went from ice coverage on the lakes to a rapid melt. I mean, they lost like 20% of ice coverage. So everything's broken up and melting. And then you're going to get these waves. There's gale watches and warnings on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. And if you think about them climbing up to 10 feet high, moving those ice sheets around, we're looking at potentially some damage that could happen along lake shores. So Lake Michigan tomorrow morning will be your biggest threat, but then the winds shift and then it turns to the south shore of Lake Superior tomorrow afternoon and through those evening hours. So lakeshore areas, kind of looking out for that ice, kind of moving in and shoving on shore. That's going to be the next thing. And then also river areas, we have all this melt that just melted, all this precipitation. Takes a minute for it to get to the river basins. They're starting to swell. So right here in Wausau, we're in an action level right now in the Wisconsin River. So we could see some flooding pretty soon. And I'm just watching those river gauges rise and rise across the state. I mean, the ground was still frozen. We still have frost about 15 to 32 inch depth out there. So this water's got to go into those rivers. And those ice chunks are going to break up and start floating down. And then they could get jammed and cause more flooding. So flooding season, guys.
It's, if you've never seen the impact of ice shoves, just do a Google search on it. For those of us who don't live along the lakeshore and, you know, along the shores of one of the Great Lakes, that can be massively destructive.
Yes, nothing stops them. They'll push houses right off their foundation if there's enough and these winds are going to be strong enough.
Any more precipitation coming our way in the next week or so? Any more rain on the way?
So we're looking at a quick shot of light snow up north tonight. But other than that, we have a big cold front pushing through tomorrow, which is why it's going to get so windy. So that could spark up a few scattered showers or a few flurries with that as it moves through tomorrow afternoon. But then we're really keeping an eye on the bigger storm that hits Tuesday and into Wednesday next week. This one is going to pack a punch. It's got a lot of precipitation with it and moisture, and it could put down some snow accumulating into portions of the state. Now, of course, we don't know exactly where, because that thing is changing and bouncing everywhere. But it is going to hit Wisconsin, and we are looking at a good 1 to 2 inches of precip. So in the form of rain or in the form of snow, depends where you live.
And that's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep, and that's a big, massive amount of precip after we just melted all that snow.
Right,
so flooding is definitely going to be happening by next weekend in a lot of places.
I want to reiterate something. I think you mentioned on Pat's show last week that for the most part, and by your expertise and your wizardry work in weathering, we're out of the cold snaps. The deep freeze colds were moved past that point. And now, it, you know, we're going to have those 30s and 40s days, but none of these 30 below zero days. And is that by your best judgment, is that where we're at?
Yes, I think we're out of that. No more deep freeze, Arctic cold blast or anything like that. Now, again, temperature is going to be shifting. Even Saturday, we're going to be all below freezing in the 20s. So that's kind of the swing we're going to be going through as we go through the next few months. But no, pretty much major warm-ups and some mild cold snaps behind it is what we're looking forward to.
It's only, we're only at the end of February. We have all of March we got to get through yet. Mother Nature every once in a while likes to come in with one of those March storms. And it's that really heavy, wet snow, which disappears in 2 days, but it's a major pain in the neck. So we're not completely out of the woods yet.
No, we're not. I see a couple of those in the future. So hang on tight.
She's smiling. She's happy.
Of course she's smiling. She's
like Dr. Evil over here.
Inconvenient snow makes you happy.
Hey, it's my job.
That's right.
Give me something to do.
That's exactly.
Sunny
California, I couldn't do it. Nope, too boring.
How boring would Hawaii be for a meteorologist, right? Why bother?
No way.
Yeah, why bother? It's the same every day.
Until it's a hurricane. And you're like, oh, it's going to get windy.
Keep an eye on the winds tonight and tomorrow. And especially if you've got big trees, the ground is pretty saturated. So that might cause some issues and maybe some power down to power lines as well. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media meteorologist for a little weather and wine. She joins us every Thursday. Thank you so much, Brittany. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We're going to talk all things sports with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the other side of the news. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. In his budget, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing a new office to oversee the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. $2 million of his proposed two-year budget would be used to create an 11-person ombudsperson's office. The office would be tasked with investigating complaints about the status of corrections facilities, as well as instances of abuse, unfair acts, or violation of rights. Prison reform activists have repeatedly called for such an office, but some Republican lawmakers have pushed back on its potential structure. Even school children can affect change. Crosswalks are essential for any pedestrian crossing, but especially near schools where children are biking and walking. The city of Green Bay recently installed flashing beacons at 48 crosswalks throughout the city. One was supposed to be at the corner of Eliza and Webster Street. However, a group of students at Aldo Leopold conducted their own research and presented their findings to the city. Students mostly used an intersection a block to the south of there. Due to their efforts, Public Works Director Steve Grenier and the city changed the location of the flashing beacon to Emily and South Webster Streets. More crosswalk improvements are planned this summer to include driver feedback signs. Education consultant Brittany Kinzer is moving on to April's general election following last week's second-place primary finish for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. On a call with reporters recently, Kinzer said standards have been lowered under incumbent Jill Underley. Underley has defended the changes she's made to the DPI test standards, saying she's committed to advocating for better local public schools so every kid can get the best education. Kinzer and Underley will be on the April 1st ballot. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope, has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today with high temperatures tapping the low 40s and winds becoming breezy. They'll be gusting up to 30 miles per hour today and whip up to 40 miles per hour tomorrow. With a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon, we're looking at light snow chances overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, TJ Bowles and Aaron Arsenal are in from Hybrid Wrestling to talk about a great event coming up at Badger State Brewing.
And we'll feature Jamie Lynn Fletcher with our Heights Pub and Parlor music series. Join us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Flipping Your Wig edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. Our next guest joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning, friends. How are all of you?
We are good. Good to see you. Where would we like to start with sports balls? How about March Madness?
Oh, yeah. We're almost there, right? We are a couple days away from the start of March Madness. So a couple things to watch if you are a Wisconsin basketball fan. The University of Wisconsin is kind of in this, they're really close to sewing up a chance to appear in Milwaukee. Milwaukee will be hosting games at Pfizer Forum here for the second time in 4 years, because they were here in 2022 as well. So I guess, yeah, second and four. Wisconsin was here last time. There is a process through which teams, you know, that do very well get some geographic preference. And the Badgers are in really good shape to play here. I still think, even after they had a really bad loss to Oregon a few days ago, where they let a big lead get away, it was just a very confounding loss, actually. They're still in really good position to do that. So they got to keep winning all the games they're supposed to. And there's a big game coming up against Michigan State. They could stand to win that, too. That would be nice. That would probably guarantee it. It's not a guarantee right now, but it's pretty close to one. So that's something that I think people are going to be interested in. Marquette will not be in Milwaukee there, contractually not allowed to be as the host, but they've been slipping a little bit. They've had a rough go. They had a really convincing win over Providence on Tuesday night, so they're off the schneid to some degree, but it has not been a good second half of the season. So they're still in the national rankings. They're still in the 20s, but it remains to be seen exactly how far they're going to fall in these seeds. It was shaping up like they were going to be a two seed again this year, and that's not going to happen now. So that's interesting. And UW-Milwaukee is, you know, the Horizon League where both UWGB and UW-Milwaukee play is there's chaos usually in the tournament. It could be really any team. Milwaukee, I think, has the capability to win that tournament. They're not the top seed. They won't be favored, but they could easily sneak in as well. Also, that's almost certainly not a team that'll play in Milwaukee, although that's not like ruled out. It's very, very unlikely. So yeah, there's plenty to follow here if you're a basketball fan.
Do you bracket? And if you do, how much pressure is on you as a sports reporter to have like the best of brackets?
Do you even bracket, bro?
Am I a bracket bro? I am far too high culture for bracketing, of course. I do a player draft where I draft 10 players along with several of my friends, and most points wins at the end of the tournament. Last year, I had the number one overall pick. I got Zach Edey, that 7-foot monster for Purdue. I won. It was not of any volition of my own. I just won because I got lucky. But whatever. No, I think I like envision a bracket. I don't enter any bracket contest usually, only because I can throw in a bunch of caveats that, and this is true, nobody knows how this is going to go. Like, no one can predict the future in the NCAA tournament. It is always random, always wild. It usually shakes out at the end that teams that are in the Final Four certainly deserve to be there, but it might not be the top four teams in the tournament. In fact, it almost never is the top four teams in the tournament. So it is a complete and exact wild science. You know, every radio interview, I can give you a matchup. I can tell you who whether or not they match up favorably or whatever, but like they could lose by 20 points. You have no way of knowing. So it's a very humbling experience, whether or not you're a sports guru.
Well, and to me, that's one of the best things about the NCAA tournament is the fact that someone who you never expected could come and pull this off comes in and does the big upset. I think that's a beautiful thing. And then for people like me, who fill out their brackets depending upon uniform color, and if I like the name of the mascot, you know, then I have a better chance as well.
My daughter did fill one out last year based solely on which mascot she preferred. She's 10 years old. She did not fare better than me in this particular
instance.
Okay,
all right, it's fine. But wow.
I just want to be clear, but she easily could, right? Like, it's such, it's, and now that we have had a couple instances where 16 seeds beat the one seed. That was like the last frontier of normalcy where you could rely on, no matter what happens, the one seeds are always going to beat those 16 seeds in the first round. Well, now it's happened twice that a 16 seed has beaten the one. So now nothing is safe. There's just nothing you could predict. Pretty likely the one seed's going to win, but you know, there's really no way to know for sure. It's all crazy.
But here's what we can report to you right now, folks. Breaking news. J.R. Radcliffe is better than his daughter.
Let's go. That's right. What now, Lydia?
Bring it, kid. Bring it, 10-year-old.
I think that's how you advertise the NCAA tournament. You'd be like, hey, your team could win it all or not. CBS Sports.
I mean, this is one of the big problems with college basketball in general is you have a lot of people asking somewhat fairly, why do I watch all these months of regular season when the only thing that matters is the series of coin flips that happens yes. in mid to late March? Yeah. Like, I totally get that. I mean, like I said, at the end, the top four teams are almost always teams that did not luck their way there. Either they were a lower level team that really played at an elite level, or they're just really good teams. I think Wisconsin could be one of those teams. Like, that's the thing about it is this Badgers team is – this Oregon loss is so frustrating because it falls in line with other previous like late season Badgers reminders that, oh, they're not that good, but this team is really good. I think this was just a weird one-off loss that they lost in overtime. Like, so many crazy weird things had to go wrong. I think this team is good enough and avoids the lulls that, unfortunately, this game was an example of, but typically avoids those offensive lulls that have haunted past Badgers teams. I think this is a really good Wisconsin team. I think they're very much a candidate to go to the Final Four, and it would not hurt to have the first two games in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Unquestionably hard as an audience.
The city would be insane on fire.
You bet. J.R. Yep. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. Let's move on to the Bucks. And what is going on?
Well, they've been okay lately. They're finally getting healthy. They lost on Tuesday to Houston. I found that game, I found it encouraging because I think they played really, really good defense against a really good team on the road. They did only score 12 points in the fourth quarter, which is really quite bad. They only gave up 15, which was quite incredible, but 12 points. I mean, they missed a lot of shots that I think they probably would make if they took the same shots again. You know, for them, it is just about getting healthy, and they are in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference among playoff teams. They're like in the 4-5s. Don't really want them to get lower than that because then they get into this play-in part of the tournament where they're going to wind up having to really sing for their supper and win games just to get in to face the really good teams. You don't want that. That would be that. So that requires them to get a top six seed. I think they're probably going to get that pretty safely. The Pistons are on fire. That's a problem. The Bucks are back and forth with the Pacers. Those teams are going to kind of be competing for the same terrain at this point. So if you are a Bucks fan late in the season, cheer against Detroit and against Indiana. That might be against your instincts of similar size markets that you normally cheer for, but like those are the bad guys right now. And I do think as Giannis is getting past this minutes restriction after he dinged up his calf a little bit, Damian Lillard, I think looks pretty good. Maybe not as good as we've seen him, but really good. And you know, Kyle Kuzma is up and down a little bit, but he's the new guy's fitting in with those two guys. And I think it's going okay for them. I still don't see this team as like a deep playoff team. I haven't seen anything that convinces me otherwise, but I do think this is a pretty good version of them. Really good game on Thursday against Denver. That's at Pfizer Forum, and that's five of the, you know, between Nikola Jokic and Giannis, you got five of the last six MVP trophies, so that's pretty sweet. If he does indeed play, which there's no reason to think he won't, Nikola Jokic, that'd be really cool. So if you've got nothing to do tonight, that'd be a cool thing to do. Go check out the Bucks.
So I have a question that kind of broken into a couple pieces, and it's a basketball question, so you're welcome, listeners. There is always rumors about if this Bucks team doesn't do well this season that Giannis might look other places to be. I don't know. Start there. I don't know how true that is. Then on top of that, how good do the Bucks have to do? And I'm saying take a championship out of the running, but how good did they have to do for him to say, no, I'm going to stay here? And if they just peter out in the first round, does he say, I'm going
to go
look my options?
So Lori Nickel, my colleague, did a really cool two-part series on Giannis. One landed today, one yesterday. So I really encourage, if people are interested, it was a really candid interview and really tried to get into the psychology of how Giannis would answer this question, you know? And I do think national media has a little bit of a, I'm trying to use an appropriate word here. They really like talking about this. They're really into moving Giannis to another team, more so than I would say comparable superstars. I don't ever really understand that relative. Like I can understand if it's, you know, you just don't get this for Jokic, who plays for Denver. You know, like if you want to, that's not a powerhouse market. I don't know why people aren't saying, when is Jokic going to move? Yeah, they won a championship, but when is he going to go to New York or LA? You know, and all I can think of is there's two things about Giannis. One, he does play in Milwaukee, which is not a powerhouse, you know, by national standards, powerhouse market. And two, he likes to talk. He answers these questions and he talks about it and he entertains the possibility that someday he will want to move on. And Laurie, I think, really did a good job kind of going in there. Like he can't say to himself, I'll never want to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like he does say, which I appreciate because this is true. Milwaukee is lucky that Giannis didn't know better when he was a young kid, that he came to the United States, saw this as like this amazing land of opportunity, even though it was really cold in the winters and sort of small by other city standards. Like he didn't know any better. And he grew to love this place and he developed a connection with this place. And he's loyal and he doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to leave. And he has said that over and over and over and over and over. Like he wants to be here.
Yeah.
The only thing that could happen, and it isn't even like about wins and losses or where they fall in the playoffs. Like if it gets to a point where it's clear the Bucks cannot contend for a championship, they might not even be a playoff team. Now I think that's where you're probably going to, he's probably going to start talking about elsewhere, but financially, the way that the salary cap works, this is the most lucrative situation for him to stay here. The NBA has really built in rules that make it such that certain, you know, your current team can pay you more than a new team. It's complicated, but he can make more money here. He is beloved here.
Yes.
He at right now can still win a championship. You know, as long as Damian Lillard is healthy at this level, like he's, you know, he's in his 30s, but he's not going to be 38 tomorrow or anything. Like he's still capable of playing at a very high level. I think the Bucks are going to retool a little bit this offseason and maybe, you know, maybe we'll see a sort of renewed emphasis on a championship caliber team. But, you know, as far as we know, this everything he said, Giannis really, really, really does want to be here. He can't throw away the possibility of playing somewhere else, but you know, this is his home. So I think Bucks fans should feel comfortable.
Okay. Honestly.
Good. Right. Good. We got about 3 minutes left. The NFL Combine. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I had a really good time last year. I got to go for the first time. I loved it, but that is such an insular media thing to say because it is such a weird pseudo event to bring in all these players from around the country to Indianapolis and have them like do interviews and run drills. Essentially, it's very weird. I think really only true NFL heads are into this, like people who really just get into the draft to the nth degree. It's not
a casual fan.
Yeah, I don't think it's a casual fan thing, but I really would encourage people to go to JSOnline, PackersNews.com, because Tom Silverstein is there and he's written some really interesting stuff. This is a good chance for him to sort of meet with people associated with the Packers and agents and things like that. And, you know, there are some serious questions about whether or not Jair Alexander will be back next year. That kind of looks like maybe a divorce is on the horizon. And it's just a question of whether the Packers can trade him or if they have to let him go, like how that's going on. So there's a lot going on there. And, you know, and then there are some intriguing prospects to talk about, but you know, there's so many of them. It's impossible to know which ones will ultimately matter. So it's a little bit of a meat market. It's hard to wrap your arms around, but I had a good time. I loved it.
Well, that's what matters, JR. That's what matters. Calvin, you get the last word on this before we got to let JR go.
Well, I was just going to make a hot take or prediction that the NFL Combine might be a thing of the past in the near future. A number of the top prospects have the past years, it's been increasing the amount, decide to sit out of the drills at the combine and just participate in the physicals and interviews.
That is not a novel take. It's a great take. I'm sorry, I don't mean to disparage it, but yes, a lot of people are saying this as well. They feel like that it is dying, and it might be. You're absolutely right. Most of these guys, like the big names, they know they're going top 10 in the draft. They're not gonna do that, but right. I think those interviews and physicals are still important. Like teams really value that stuff, the like face-to-face stuff, even as short as it is. So I still think it has a place, especially if they send me, but I'm not positive. We'll
That's
see.
What
we'll
it's
see.
About. Send J.R. Radcliffe. If he's not there.
Send his daughter.
send his daughter.
That's great. No, she can't come. If I'm going there for a week, it is without my family. I mean, I love my family, but like it's me in the steakhouse in Indianapolis. That's what I want.
Read J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll see you in a couple. Thanks a lot, J.R. Stay with us. This shouldn't be a thing on the way next. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And let me tell you, being a mom is tiresome. And you need a break. So take one at Mom Prom on Saturday, March 8th at the Hilton Paper Valley Hotel from 7 till 10 p.m. Grab those old prom dresses, homecoming dresses. Heck, there's somebody with a pile of bridesmaid dresses somewhere. And have fun and let loose. You could even get named prom queen. It may be called Mom Prom, but it's open to all ladies 21 and over. So head to WGBW.fm, click events, and find out more.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, I will be not here.
What?
I will be at home. We're having some work done on our furnace.
When was I going to find out about Calvin, why am I the last one to find out things like this? Who's hosting? Are you getting one of them day jobber guys coming
in? One of the young kids. One of the youth. Greg will be hosting. Greg will be sitting in the big chair. Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor.
Well, I'm okay with that.
There you go. And Calvin will be here as well. But yes, I will be back on Monday. So join us tomorrow with Greg in the big chair. Again, we have, I'm looking forward to having more intake vents put in on our first floor. It should be very, very exciting. I'll make sure and do a big TikTok video on it or something.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
That'll really put Matt Nair on air on the radar of the youngs. I'm trying. Giving it a shot.
You're getting there.
Right? We're so close. 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. This from CBS News. Headline reads, man tried to smuggle about a dozen bags of cocaine under narco wig, according to Colombian police. Bogota, Colombia police say they apprehended a 40-year-old man trying to smuggle cocaine concealed beneath his meticulously attached toupee. Mm. The man detained at Cartagena's airport earlier this week. He was heading to Amsterdam. A scanner revealed the hidden cargo under his hair. 220 grams of cocaine packaged in small bags, strategically placed under what they're calling a narco wig. The street value of the drugs estimated about $10,500. Organized crime groups are exploiting young people, falsely suggesting they can easily get through security and then be the mules, which is essentially what they are. Didn't work in this case.
I saw the wig.
Yes.
It, just the idea, like, are you a drug mule on the go? Try narco wig. What was your first, well, how did you know? What was your first clue? Well, you look like a conehead. Because $10,000 of coke on someone's skull looks a little weird.
Little extra height there.
Yeah,
extra height.
Exactly.
A video released earlier this week captured the moment an officer wearing gloves carefully removed the suspect's wig with scissors, revealing approximately a dozen packets of cocaine. Further statements have confirmed the suspect's prior criminal record, shocker, including two previous drug trafficking convictions. A report out last year found that the cultivation of cocoa bushes increased by 10% in Colombia in 2023, cocaine production up 53% from the previous year. This is not the first time this has been tried, though. In 2019, a Colombian man arrested in Spain after they found a pound.
What?
A pound of cocaine hidden under his toupee. Here's the kicker. He attracted officers' attention because he was considerably nervous, and officers said his wig was of disproportionate size.
That's what I'm talking about!
After questioning the man, they found a perfectly sealed package taped to his head containing 1.1 pounds of cocaine worth about $34,000. So, didn't work out well.
I just like the term narco wig.
Narco wig. There's a whole market for that, apparently.
Yeah, I just see a 1970s commercial with a guy in a leisure suit. Like, do you need a hair system, but also need a way to transport your cocaine? Try NarcoWig. Glist, 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 glist.
There's potential there.
There you go.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up after the news, we have Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba. Lightening things up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't forget Native Roots Radio, also across the network. And then tomorrow morning, Pat Kreitlow is finally back.
What?
I know. Pat Kreitlow back for Up North News Radio from 6 to 8. And catch Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Again, Greg will be here tomorrow along with Dan Schaefer and Calvin as well. Stay with us. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the next couple of days and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you later.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans. and they help me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Sweeping layoffs continue with tens of thousands of government jobs on the line. Outside the USAID building today in Washington, D.C., fired employees were given 15 minutes to collect their belongings after being shut out weeks ago. Caitlin Harwood is a former desk officer for the African nation of Mozambique. She says real people and services are being impacted.
I have a 9-month-old and a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm worried about my next paycheck. But I'll figure it out, I guess.
President Trump says he supports the cuts. Today, the president welcoming Britain's prime minister to the White House, and talks will focus on trade and tariffs. In New Mexico, authorities say that they have executed a search warrant at the home of Gene Hackman, the award-winning actor, and his wife and dog found dead in different rooms. Police say it appears they were dead for some time. They don't have a cause, but now say they're looking at possible carbon monoxide poisonings. Gene Hackman was 95. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with